Happy Shabbat and happy Yom Kippur to one and all. I understand that in Yisrael, the rabbis have corrupted their calendar to the point that they think that we're still a month away from Kippur. Of course, they will tell Yisrael the high holy days begin with Rosh Hashanah, which is the Babylonian New Year, as opposed to Teruah. And then they will tell you that the proper way to celebrate Purim is to twirl a chicken over your head and afflict yourself, because what God wouldn't want his subjects to be afflicting themselves. But the truth is, there are no such thing as high holy days. Holy in Hebrew is choli. It speaks of being diseased. Teruah is an exceedingly important day on Yisrael's calendar. It's the last gleaning of Yisrael before the Messiah's return with Yahweh on Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is plural of Kafar, which speaks of reconciliation. So it is the day of reconciliation, because there's two reconciliations occurring on this day. This is all explained beautifully by the prophet Jeremiah in the 31st chapter, where he explains that the Bereshit covenant will be reaffirmed and reestablished between Yisrael and Yehudah. That will occur on this day. And so the two reunions are between the fractured nature of Yisrael, particularly as he sits today, torn apart by religion and politics, and the relationship of God's people with Yahweh. This is the day that we celebrate. This is the day that God returns. His first order of business on this day will be to do something, of course, that the rabbis again say can't be done. But he's done it before, and he will do it again, which is he's going to put on the garb of the high priest, and he's going to anoint the Kippur, the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. Because in this way, as he anoints it with the blood of the, just a smattering of the bull and of the goat, he will have honored the Torah's procedure for reconciling relationship with wayward people, upon which time he is going to remove all traces of religious and political threats from around God's people, starting with Yisrael. At the same time, Yahweh, who just happens to be God, will transform the earth back into the conditions experienced in Eden. We know all of this because the prophets explained it to us, and we have read them, and we are sharing it with you. This is the nature of Kippurim. 5 days after Kippurim is Sukkah. As a matter of fact, 10 years to the day that Muslims invaded Israel, slaughtering Jews, we will celebrate the 1,000-year beginning of the long Shabbat of Sukkah, as the 7th of October, 2033, is the first day of forever. This is what we look forward to. That day is exactly 10 years away. It will be on Kippurim. Excuse me, 9 years from now. Okay. Misspoke there. It'll be exactly 9 years from now that we will be celebrating Kippurim. It's 10 years from the October 7th attack by Muslims, and just 9 years from this day when we will be camping out with our Heavenly Father, but not all of us, only those who have accepted the conditions of the covenant, who have embraced Yahweh as God, who know that Yahweh, the Messiah and Son of God, fulfills the Moed Mikre, and that he is the one that is coming back with God to reign as king beginning on Kippurim. This evening, to celebrate Kippurim, we're going to celebrate it with a song. This song is based upon a poem that I wrote yesterday. It's embarrassing to tell you, but it's the first poem I have written since I was 7 years old. I wrote a poem that I got a key, and I, as a seven-year-old, because I was insistent that the word towards was appropriate to use in this poem, and my teacher didn't want me to use it. Towards, he said, was appropriate, not towards. My editors would agree, of course, with my English teacher, but I'm fairly insistent on saying things the way that I think they need to be said. All of you Yahweh's prophets were that way, although I'm not a prophet, I certainly speak for them. Yes, that poem, yeah. When I was 7 years old, began, "Who are you sitting there? What goes through your troubled mind? Thoughts of hatred or of kind?" The song that we're going to share with you today is enormously more important than that. It is, I think, collaboratively, it's the finest thing we have done as a family. Well, I wrote the lyrics, Dee produced the musical score, staying up all night to do so because this was not easy, and that there are a lot of words. We did not shortchange the message. God is speaking to his people, and he wants them to know him and what he had to say to them. And so it is a long song, and those are much more difficult to write. And then my wife, Leah, is the one who composed the video for this song, with the images, and for those who have not done so, I would encourage you to go to YouTube. Yada Yada Radio would be a good place to start. I think the links have already been posted in the chat room. There's also Yada Yada on Rumble. And play the song so that you can see the lyrics and the video as you play it. This song was inspired by the first 600 pages of Twistianity 5. Twistianity now has a fifth volume. I will be finished writing it sometime late on Sunday. But as I approach page 600 of it, I was inspired to write a song. So this evening, I want you to get a cup of coffee. We're going to go through all 600 pages of Twistianity 5. So that you know, I'll spare you the whole thing. And although I would encourage people to read it, because it is really a marvelous presentation of a single subject. And that is, after completely destroying the myth of Christianity and of Paul and of Peter, of Luke, and the Christian New Testament, in the first four volumes of Twistianity, I decided that I would start the fifth volume by systematically stating the case for doubt. And so we go through the first eight Mizmor, and then the 103rd, and then the 22nd, 23rd, 88th, 89th Mizmor. We go through 2 Samuel 7, which I think is one of the most powerful prophecies in the world. Then we transition into Yeshayah 9, then 40 about the voice, and then 53. And this song was inspired as I was sharing the message of Yeshayah 53 after the build-up of those first 600 pages. So we're going to begin by sharing a little bit of Yeshayah 53. Then I'm going to do my best to read my poem, my first poem, since I was 7 years old. And then we're going to play the song that the team composed to share this message with you. As we are aware, Yeshayah 53 begins by directing our attention to the identity of the Zeruah. God's introduction also reveals that Yada Yada, as a series of books, would be noted for its devotion to properly translating, assessing, and explaining Isaiah's prophecies. We understand this connection because there is nowhere else where the Zeruah are openly discussed. Nowhere else in all of human history. Much less identified and known. There are three Zeruah. The first told us what we needed to know. His name is Moshe. He is the one that presented the Torah of Yahweh. And he's the one that explained the Torah. He's the first to acknowledge that there would be three Zeruah. And he is the one who told us what each of the seven Moed Mikre represent, so that we would understand the benefits when they were fulfilled. The most important of the Zeruah is doubt. In his case, every aspect of this term applies, including the Torah's definition of Zeruah, which is sacrificial lamb. Dod honored the Torah promises. He is the one who lived the words that Moshe shared. But since there isn't one amongst a million Yehud who knows what Dod did as the Zeruah, the Passover lamb, in your 4,000 Yah, or that his soul served to fulfill Matzah, and then Kurim, becoming Yahweh's Bakur, firstborn son, 3 days in succession, in the Yobel of 4,000 Yah, the 80th Yobel year since our release from the garden. This is the timing that is presented. However, since there are so few people worldwide who know this, and I would say that if you go back 2 or 3 years, there were exactly zero people who know this. As a matter of fact, if you go back 2,500 years, there's not a single person who recognized that Dod was not only the Messiah and the Son of God and the returning King, but that he filled the shoes of the Pesach-eo, that he was the Zeruah, the Passover lamb, and that he fulfilled Pesach, Masa, and Bechorah in 33 CE. And so, when we determine that based upon reading what the prophets had to say, it changed everything. At that point, you know that the Christian counterfeit known as Jesus never existed. You know that Rabbi Akiva made a horrendous mistake by foisting a false Messiah of his own on Yisrael, leading to the diaspora, which ultimately led to the Holocaust. So, is all of these things. But the world would not know this had we not discovered it and made it central to our message on behalf of Yisrael. And therefore, there is a third Zeruah. At this time, as important as the other two. Although, overall, he's not fit to carry the sandals of the first two. But at this very moment, it's his job that matters the most. Because unless people start to acknowledge what God has done, his sacrifice is for naught. And imagine the pain of father and son to have endured the torment of crucifixion as the Passover lamb, to have endured a trip to Sheol, hell, to dispose of our guilt, to be ignored, to be rejected, to be discounted, to be replaced by a couple of crude counterfeits. The solution to that is Yadayahu. The covenant family is now broadcasting this solution, this remedy to you, and it is absolutely essential. The questions in the opening credits of Yeshayah 53 are intriguing for many reasons, one of which is there's nothing equivalent to them anywhere else in the prophets. And in this regard, there are only a couple of options regarding Shemua and Akhenu. Our message, this is either Yahweh bringing Yeshayah into the conversation, telling us that they are in full agreement, or our is inclusive of Father and Son, God and Zeruah, since this is about their role in our salvation as the Passover lamb. It is also possible that Anaknu addresses both prophets and every prophet. It begins, who? Who has affirmed and established, providing a verifiable accounting of our message? And to whom have the Zeruah, protective shepherd, sacrificial lamb, and sower of seeds cultivating the harvest of Yahweh been revealed and made openly known? As I have shared with you, and if you should disagree, please, by all means, share what you know that we are unaware of. But there's only one place ever been explained. Which means what you're hearing now, what you can read if you read the translations and explanations of Yeshayah 53 and the Yada Yahweh series, is the fulfillment of this prophecy. And when you think of how important this prophecy is, then you'll have an appreciation for what Yahweh inspired Yeshayah to reveal to us. Now, this does not come out of the blue, because the first time ever that the magnificent prophecy of Yeshayah 9 about a child who was born and a son who was given to us, the great Gabor, though, the first time that it has ever been correctly explained, is in the Yada Yahweh series. The voice that appears in Yeshayah 40 that's calling God's people home and tells them to build this raised thoroughfare back home to God That voice is the one you're listening to. And of course, that brings us to Yeshaya 53 with this powerful introduction of which has never occurred previously. He will raise and be lifted up, similar to the sucker, before his appearance to prepare in advance of his arrival, much like the rootstock of the land after a long drought. Now, before we continue, you might say, well, that's pejorative. You're calling this dude a sucker. And you're saying that he's, you know, similar to roots. Well, that's the stuff in the muck under our feet. And this is after a long drought. What gives? Well, those who are familiar with the prophecy of the Toter recognize that Toter is a sucker. That's something that brings new life to a fallen stump or to an old rootstock. And in that Toter prophecy, which is the entirety of Yeshaya 11, God's saying that this Toter is going to be a sucker that brings new life to the fallen stump that was Yisrael, that is the rootstock from which God has come and entered our world. So what is being lifted up here in Yeshaya 53 is the same thing that Yeshaya Isaiah spoke of regarding the sucker in the 11th chapter. So he will rise and be lifted up, similar to the sucker, before his appearance, to prepare in advance of his arrival. What did I share with you about Yeshaya 40? The voice calling out to be prepared, to prepare Yisrael for the arrival of their Mashiach and their God, Dod and Yahweh, speaks of the same individual. And you might say, well, why is God making such a big deal of this? Well, the answer is, if this was not happening, it would be the end of life as we know it. There would be no Shavuah harvest, no Teruah harvest, no Kippurim homecoming. 9 years from now, there would be no one there to greet Yahweh and Dod, and therefore no reason to come home. And the earth would be lost, as life would be extinguished. So there's a lot at stake. That's why God has so much to say about it. Much like the rootstock of the land after a long drought, and boy, has this been a long drought. Yisrael, I'm not sure that there have been 20 Yehud that have recovered from the waters of Meribah. His approach will not be perceived as particularly pleasing because he will not provide a superficial outline or a shallow two-dimensional sketch, nor even a short poem. I added the last part, of course. He will not hold... been a long night, Hadi.
That's a long uptake on
Yes, I was. Everyone knows that I'm provoked. If the same thing could be said in 20 words or in 2, I'm going to go for 20 every time. I love the words that Yahweh conveyed to us. I love his message. And every nuance of it, I want to share. So his approach will not be perceived as particularly pleasing because he will not provide a superficial outline, which is what people want in the tweet world. Or a shallow two-dimensional sketch. No, my sketch of Yahweh was seven-dimensional. He will not hold high office. God never works with those kind of individuals, but he made one exception only because he chose them as a young boy and he turned a shepherd into a great leader of men. But in no other case does he work with people who would have an office that would impress anyone. He will not hold high office. He will not be a nobleman. He's not a king, although he knows one quite well. He will not ascribe to any, he will not ascribe any value to the perceived status of others, nor will he be majestically attired. He wrote as a man that thinks he's really dressed up when he puts his flip-flops on and doesn't go around barefoot. That we would look to him. There is, yeah, I actually have a pair of long pants. I wore them once. I've forgotten where they are. But we dress casually here in the Caribbean. There is nothing readily apparent such that we would desire him, want him, or be pleased by him. Just don't tell my wife. She thinks I'm handsome. This is an honest assessment of the role that I'm playing here.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothers me not that every title that is ascribed to this role that I'm playing on behalf of Yahweh, his Messiah and son, Dod, and his people, Yisrael and Yehudim, is not flattering. I'm delighted to be called a secondary stem, a choder, a nakri, an observant foreigner, a kol, a voice, a bashar, a human herald. All of these things, just an Eda, a witness. These are not flattering terms, and I'm delighted with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the role is important, and they describe precisely what is being done. And God's not pretentious. If you need a pretentious title, you're pursuing the wrong deity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to fit in, be part of his family, work with him, alongside him, this is what we not only should expect, but desire. The prophet goes on to say, he will be scoffed at, ridiculed, dismissed and discredited. I've already been dismissed and discredited by one listener in Israel to the poem that I wrote. I understand that. My poetry is a little rusty after all these years, but they had the audacity to say, you shouldn't mention the name because you sound too Christian. Obviously, they didn't get the message of the song. Anyway, he'll be scoffed at and ridiculed, dismissed and discredited by a wide variety and considerable number of individuals who will try to stop him. I'll be done everything that can be done to me by political progressives to silence this voice. Everything can be done by rabbis to besmirch my message. Everything that can be done by Christians to demonize what I have to say. And of course, I've already received thousands of death threats from Muslims. So I would say I qualify for the scoffed at and ridiculed, dismissed and discredited. And one of the things I came to realize is that being praised is a horrible thing. It makes you exceedingly vulnerable. And it is no fun being scoffed at and ridiculed. I've had my share of it. However, the best thing of all is to be ridiculed for doing the right thing. If you're getting underneath people's skin, because you're speaking for Yahweh, if you're sharing God's message with his people, and if that is the reason that they're irritated by you because it's contrary to their politics and their religion, then that is something to be proud of.
Yes.
And I can assure you that we all wear this as a badge of honor. Even so,
absolutely,
Yada will come to know, understand, and acknowledge the implications of sorrow and suffering, of being plagued and afflicted by evil. And indeed, the name that I chose, thinking that I was being so clever, 23 years ago, to write anonymously, was Yada. And I titled the series of books, Yada Yahweh, to know Yahweh. Well, obviously, this name was chosen by Yahweh at least 2,700 years ago, and likely much sooner than that. You see, God chooses certain people because they have either attributes or attitudes that he likes working with, and he works with those people over a very long period of time. So if you're one of those people, you just didn't start when you think you might have begun, like I did 23 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't recall independently. There are too many witnesses to the fact that it is likely that just as Yahweh brings his prophets forward in time and then back in time to convey his message to his people, he does the same thing with his witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So Yada,
agreed,
has come to know. He has come to understand and acknowledge it. I would suspect that it could be reasonably ascertained that 33 books, averaging 600 to 700 pages a volume, would qualify for acknowledging what he has done. And I will also tell you that I have come to celebrate sorrow. Pain is something that I am familiar with. I have been humiliated. I have been hurt. I've been rejected. I know what it is to suffer. I confessed to Dee and Leah as they were listening to me a couple of days ago. By the time that we are removed during the Shavuot harvest, less than 2 years from now, I will have given my full ounce of devotion. There'll be nothing left. Doing this 10, 12, 14 hours a day, 6 and 7 days a week for 23 years takes its toll. It's the most wonderful, joyful thing, productive thing I've ever done in my life. I love this job. But it isn't easy. It takes an enormous amount of devotion. And all along the way, what I have learned is that if it wasn't for failure, if it wasn't for the kinds of things like Dode experienced the disintegration of his family, Dode experienced the disintegration of his kingdom, Dode for a while even experienced the destruction of his relationship with Yahweh for doing some really dunderhead stuff. We grow through pain. We grow through overcoming our mistakes. That's how we build character. And so Yahweh didn't say that, you work with me and I'm going to make certain that every day is sunshine and rainbow. Because you wouldn't be able to relate to anyone. Do you think that Moshe had it easy when he had to flee Mitzrayim because he risked his life to protect a Hebrew man from being whipped to death, and goes into Arabia, a tough place to tend sheep, I'll tell you. And his first order of business is there's some girls who are being harassed by these raiders, and he's 80 years old and he stands up to them. I mean, we've all had our stripes. I can tell you, Moshe didn't want to go back. He didn't want to go back to Mitzrayim because of the religion and politics and the caste system of the pharaohs, which he opposed, but because his people turned on him.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have to grow through sorrow and suffering. It's how we come to understand the relationship that Yisrael has with Yahweh and how God has suffered because of the embittered nature of his people. It's the only way we can communicate effectively. And of being plagued and afflicted by evil. As such, from him, the presence will be averted. But Yahweh is saying that the plague of evil totally is something that will be averted from his witness, his final Zoroa, because while at one time in my life I was religious, if that was not averted, if I was not able to walk away from that, I wouldn't qualify to participate in the covenant, and Yahweh could not have approached me. This job cannot be done by someone who is religious. Then, speaking of his people collectively, Yahshua said, we will censor him. We're going to slander him as uninformed, as unimportant, as disreputable, as we scoff at and ridicule him, dismissing and discrediting him. You know, when you read things like this, you have fewer people that are envious and say, well, you know, maybe I want that job. Don't. No, you don't. I love it. But you don't want it. Because we will not properly assess his contribution by contemplating what he has composed. Now, that's not going to be all of Israel, because this is changing, and it's changing rapidly. There will be a Shavuah and Teruah harvest. There will be a Kippurim homecoming. It's going to be a wonderful time to camp out with Yah, beginning Sukkah. To this point, what Yahshayah has prophetically contributed has been accurate. This is where we are.
Mm-hmm.
It is not where we're going. And I even say that with a bit of trepidation, because even though there will be a Shavuah harvest of Goyim and Yehudim that please Yah, and a Teruah gleaning of Yisraelites and Yehudim, and a Kippurim homecoming, even though that's all true, it's going to be a tiny remnant of people who are left on this planet. Surely, the malignant and malevolent pandemic of twisted perversions which plague and weaken us, he will lift from us, except and carry away. The cause and consequence of our pain and suffering, he will incur and he will bear them. And yet, we assess his overall contribution poignantly inflicted, stricken by God, in addition to being humiliated for his testimony and abused for his response. Now, this is true, really, of the great Zeruah and of his herald, the little Zeruah. It is true that it was Dod as the Zeruah who lifted our guilt and carried it off to Sheol to perfect us. He incurred and bore our pain. And it is his contribution, allowing himself to be inflicted and stricken, that made all the difference. But there isn't anyone who would say that is accusing Dod of being stricken by God.
Right.
But there are lots of people who read what I have written, like we did a show about 2 months ago of this woman who said, you know, they say you are demon-possessed and that you're a madman. That's being stricken by God. That is the impression where the religious will use the ad hominem argument to assail what I have written, because they can't the words themselves. Otherwise, they'd be debating against God, and that does not usually work out very well. So this speaks really of the melding of the purpose of both the great Zeruah Dod and of his herald. As we continue into the prophecy now, we read something that applies only to the great Zeruah, to the Passover Lamb, to the Son of God, to our Messiah and our Savior, Dod David. It said he will be pierced through for breaching our relationship through religious and political rebellion. Then he will be separated and crushed under tremendous pressure, all for our guilt, because we were wrong. So the punishment will be on him for our reconciliation. Therefore, by his scourging blows, we will be restored, healed, and repaired. Isaiah 53:5. In the rabbinical annual readings, they skip past Isaiah 53 because it is assumed that since Christians have claimed this on behalf of their counterfeit, that it doesn't pertain to Judaism, and they'll just skip past it. It doesn't apply.
Well, that's a twisted argument.
Yes. It does not apply to the Christian counterfeit. This applies to Job. And by skipping over it, they're missing the greatest gift that has ever been provided. This is the gift of the Son who was given to us. Is the one who every one of these words was written about. He specifically describes them in this 22nd Mizmor. If you read the 22nd Mizmor in first person, Job wrote every bit of this. He explained that he would be crucified as the Passover lamb some 500 years before crucifixion was invented. And some 800 years before Rome even existed. Well, that's a prophecy. And so he will be pierced through for us breaching our relationship through religious and political rebellion, which is why he served as the Pesach Gael. It is why his soul, his nephesh, was separated and crushed under the tremendous pressure of Sheol, which is the equivalent of a black hole, which is where his nephesh carried our guilt to deposit it there, never to be seen again. Satisfying the benefit of the covenant, which is to perfect us. That is the purpose of unyeasted bread. And so, the consequence, the chastisement, the rebuke, was laid upon him for our reconciliation. Thereby, by his scourging blows, we will be restored, healed, and repaired. This is the greatest gift ever offered. This is the greatest discovery ever made. This is the answer to life. It is God, the Messiah, the Son of God, who did all of this on our behalf. That means there was no Jesus. That means that Rabbi Akiva made a horrific mistake in naming Bar Kokhba as a false Messiah. It is then this next statement that prompted me to hone my poetic skills after a long intermission. Collectively, we are like sheep in a flock, misled, deceived, like people, with humankind turning to his own way. And so Yahweh will cause the guilt associated with having twisted and distorted the truth and the resulting consequence of us all to be associated with him. To which I wrote, "I told you so." This is the synthesis of the Torah's promise to preclude salvation through the mikre. The Zoroah was the implement. And that is why this message is presented within Isaiah 53 and why it is so enormously valuable, vital for us to understand. Therefore, I thought I might convey these thoughts in a song that is written from Yahweh's perspective. Yahweh sings a song to Yisrael, "Come home." I sing for my people because you have become so feeble. You could have flown like an eagle, but you have become like other people. I chose you, but you have not chosen me. So now I plead, lift my Torah, set you free. My Beret, it's the key. I do hope you agree. Please come back home to me. Yahweh, that is my name, and to Yisrael I came. Yet you denied my flame. You fled my flame. You erased my name as if your favorite game. I am Yahweh, that is my name. There is none who shares my fame. To build a family, that's my aim. This and everything else is for your gain. I am Yahweh, and I am God. Do not be awed, neither should you applaud. Just drop the fraud. It's a nasty facade. Leave Babylon shod, no longer so flawed. I choose you, but you have not chosen me. So now I plead, let my Torah set you free. My Bereth, it's the key. And I hope you agree. Please come back home to me. It began in Eden. It led to Yisrael, a home for Abraham, Yitzhak, and Jacob to dwell. A place for Sarah, for Rachel, and Leah to do well. And yet it is there that Ahab and Jezebel fell. I am the God of the prophets of Yahshayah and Zechariah. I am the Elohim of Yoel and Yirmiyah. The God of the children with the chutzpah for Yadayah. As the coal of Yada, I am Yahweh. Your Messiah returns. He's been here before. Your guilt he bore, he opened the door. Of this and more, I swore. So go explore, for it's told throughout his Mizmor. I choose you, but you have not chosen me. So now I plead, let my Torah set you free. My Bereth, it is the key. Now I hope you agree. Please. Come back home to me. My son Dod, my beloved, is the chosen one. Your salvation he won. It's already done. For this, he will be bright as the sun. From this truth, do not run. I have always loved you. I only wish you knew. Yet you don't have a clue. Such nonsense and fuse view. Is this why the harvest will be so few? You were unwilling to listen to my voice. You have always made the wrong choice. There has been nothing to rejoice. And it has led to a contentious divorce. Yes, I choose you. But you have not chosen me. So now I plead, let my Torah set you free. My Bereth, it is the key. Yes, I hope you agree. Please, come back home to me. There is so little time, and there's been so much slime. Step away from the grime. Leave the scene of this crime. For this, my son, laid it all on the line. There will be a harvest on Shavua, a gleaning of Yisrael occurring during Teruah. I'll be there on Kippurah to avoid the bitterness of Meribah. On Sukkah, greet me and your Messiah. There can be happily ever after. We can write a new chapter. Walk away from the religious actor. And what happened before will not matter. I choose you. Now choose me. Let my Torah set you free. My Bereth is yours, should you agree. It's time you come back to me. Thank you.
try to hold. Why have you become so single? You could have flown like an eagle. Instead you've become like other people. I choose you, but you've not chosen me. So now I flee. Let my soul set you free. My parents is to keep. How I hope you'll agree to come. Come back home to me, oh, come back home to me, oh, oh, oh. You bled my brain, you're smiling like it's your favorite game. I am Yawak, that is my name. There are none who share my fame. Building a family is my aim. All of this for your gain. I am Yawak and I am God. Do not be odd. I don't want to applaud. Just love the fraud. The cat keeps a song. We travel and start and be no longer so far. I choose you, but you've not chosen me. So now I flee, let my chorus set you free. My parents is the key. How I hope you'll agree. Please come back home to me. Oh, come back home to me. Oh, come back home to me. Oh, 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 oh,
walk away from the relief center. And what happens, it all will not matter.
Just 9 years before Yahweh endowed Father and Son, Messiah, when God returned to Yisrael, are you listening? It's hard to even comprehend how it would be possible for the Creator God of the universe, Yahweh, to have chosen a people who over the past 3,500 years have almost universally rejected him, been antagonizing toward him, embittered, contentious. And yet Yahweh continues to love. It is the most vivid expression of unrequited love the universe has ever known. Why? Yisrael. He's God. He is offering you eternal life in the seventh dimension, empowering you, enriching you, liberating you, cherishing you, loving you. And yet you won't even say his name. You've made a racing his name, your favorite game. Why? And after it obviously not working out for 3,500 years since the very beginning of the Exodus all the way to this day, why are you refusing to change? Why do you still cling to your customs and to your religion and to your embittered politics? Reconcile the relationship with you individually and collectively. Bring you back home. Return to Eden. That is the message that Yahweh wanted his people to hear this Purim, as we celebrate the day that Father and Son will return. Your 6,000 Yah, just 9 years from now. It will be on October 2nd in 2033, 6:22 p.m., sunset in Jerusalem, when Yahweh will return with Dod, the poorest mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, will be anointed, the relationship will be restored, and all religion and politics will be expunged from the earth as every one of Israel's foes will vanish. Will you be there with us? Will you accept Yahweh's invitation? Will you do what Jews have not done for thousands of years and acknowledge Yahweh's name? Acknowledge that his son is Dod, and that it is Dod who is our king and our Messiah and our shepherd and our savior. Will you listen, Yisrael? And with that, I bid you a good night. Kirk and Dee, you are more than welcome to stay and talk with the Covenant family. I do want to thank you for doing something that I have experienced but did not anticipate initially. And that is when I read the prophecy for the first time of the children. And Yahweh stating that he was going to offer this secondary stem, this sucker growing from the fallen rootstock of Israel, his seventh spirit to enlighten him, to embolden him, to make him steadfast so that he could endure, so he could teach Israel what God's people needed to know. I didn't know that there would be something equally wonderful at the time.
Yeah.
And that the covenant family
mm-hmm.
to work alongside is all possible. Yisrael, you're in their debt. I hope you come to appreciate them, your Messiah, and your God. May Yahweh bless. Happy Shavuot. Happy Teruah. Happy Purim. And a delightful Sukkah to all. Good night.
Good
night. Good night.
Hey there, Wistia is a video platform built for business. With Wistia, you can... Learn more at wistia.com/info. That's wistia.com/info.
Lee's Custom Homes is not your cookie-cutter home builder. We build homes to fit your life.
Great! Can we create a first-floor guest suite for when my mom visits?
Absolutely. Well, I want a fire pole. A what?
No, honey.
You know, she could fly from upstairs to downstairs.
Do not listen to him.
While a fire pole might be a threat, Lee's Custom Homes likes your style. And for a limited time, we're offering below-market rate financing to get you started on your new build. So, no fire pole?
How about a workshop?
Okay. Get started today. Visit us at dreamhomes.com. We like your style.